Hello again. I'd just like to say that there are lots of things that we have on our mind. Is it possible to achieve inner peace in the midst of a hectic daily lives? So these are questions that I'm sure that we would like to know if there is an answer to, because sometimes we're at our wits' end and we really don't know whether that's possible or not. I have, again, a good friend of mine, a colleague, Peter, and Peter, again, is a thinker, and his answers are pretty much on the money, and some of the excerpts and things that we'll be discussing pertains to the very hot book that he has here that's on the market. It's accessible to you out in the audience, and I will tell you how to get this good book and a little later. But Peter, I'd like for you to say hello to everyone again, and also come back with an answer, with, if you will, on fear, because that seems to be, I think we all have been guilty of that from one time to the other. Peter, firstly, say hello to everyone, and I'd like to ask you a few questions in that area.
Hello. How are you doing, David?
Yeah, very well. One thing that I have here is a question about fear and uncomfortableness. Is there a kinship between the two, being uncomfortable and fear? What's the difference between the two?
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, typically when you're in fear, you are also not so feeling so comfortable. And fear is something that I think we each and everyone has been experiencing, and maybe are at this point also experiencing. And it has a lot of different faces. Fear itself has many different various of ways to express itself. And sometimes it's not that easy to pinpoint what is fear and what is really coming out of fear, even though we think that it's not truly fear. And I think there's a saying that there's only love and fear. And if it's not coming out of love, it's coming out of fear. So definitely, I think a lot of the cases we are feeling uncomfortable, and underneath there's some type of or kind of fear.
Okay. Now, the thing that seems like a paradox to me is that if we are only afraid of the things we know, the word only is a very powerful word here. We are only afraid of the things that we know and have. We have nothing against the unknown. Now, that seems a bit unusual, because some of the most powerful and mind-lasting stories that's ever been written is about fairy tales. It's taken from the Black Forest out of Germany. And the reason that those writings were very good is because people were, it was the unknown. They didn't know about the dark and what lurked around in the dark. And that's why so many stories are so effective, even today, after having been written years ago. So how can one not be afraid of the unknown? I mean, the word unknown, again, is there are things that we are afraid of that we know nothing about. Or is that true?
Well, I think you can take it so many ways, but the point is that what I make in the book is that in many cases we are not truly afraid of something new, something we cannot imagine. We could say that, you know, you cannot fear something you don't know nothing about. So you are fearless because you are naive, you don't know what is going to happen. So in that way, you might be walking in the neighborhood you should not be walking, because you don't know that there's something to be sort of afraid of. You are not afraid of. That's just a lousy example. But the idea that we cannot fear something we do not know nothing about. But typically, we fear something we already are having, might be that's something that might be taken away from us. So our fears are many times related or somehow in relation to the things we having or situation we are at the moment or possessions we having or the job we having or the security, wealth, whatever we having or that our family situation or situation in life might or may change, and this is truly the fear we having, that something in our life is not going to be the same. There's going to be some changes, and we have to adjust or do something differently in the future, and we are actually afraid of and fearing those things we already have and are familiar with.
Okay, but again, now let's say that I was walking down the street. I was unfamiliar with the street. The things on that block, if you will, were all unknown to me. But what if I were suspicious that there's a neighborhood dog lurking around behind the bush somewhere? Now, that's the unknown, but there's a suspicion that there might be a dog there.
Now we're talking about physical fear and physical threat and these kind of things. Mainly in the book, I'm talking about something else, but obviously I think we can make some analogy here as well. Well, if you already have an idea that there's a dog somewhere and you're sort of in a threat, then you already know something about it. And then it's not completely unknown.
But I'm just suspicious. I'm just suspicious. I'm not aware that whether the dog is there or not. But
okay,
I might have that in mind.
So basically, what you're saying is that you imagine in your mind that there might be a dog, even though there in reality might not be any dogs at all. So you're
that's fine.
Okay. So you're creating your own fears. So those are coming from your past, or they are something do within you. So anyhow, you once again afraid of something you already know, and that might be something in your past or something in you. You're afraid of, maybe you're afraid of the dog, or you've been having some trouble with dogs before, or you're afraid of your physical. Sake of your physical condition, that you know you might be hurt by the dog or something like that. Well, those are fears. I think each and every one of us has some kind of fears. Some are afraid of snakes or rats or whatever, spiders and so on and so forth. And well, if you want to get rid of them, I think you have to face them in one way or another. But that's just one thing.
Why is that different though? You said there was a different kind of fear that you're speaking of. I thought fear was fear, that it's fear. Well, what's the difference? Fear is fear.
Well, there's many fears in a way. What I'm trying to sort of in the book tell is that there's more sort of hidden fears as well. And mainly dealing with in your regular life. And you do not recognize those as fears at all. You think that there's something else, but underneath they're truly fears. So basically, when you're feeling uncomfortable or you're starting to in any situation not act out of love, you act out of fear. And by that I mean that your actions and what you're doing are not really sort of for the good of everyone, but you are afraid of something, and that's sort of dictating your actions and responses. And that means that you are not truly thinking thoroughly and objectively and just responding in a manner that is sort of maybe best for all the parties involved, but there's something you are defensive about, something in you which causes you to act in a way that you, if you would be in a situation where there's no fear, you wouldn't actually respond and act that way.
Okay, so let me just ask you a question here. Is it possible or is it impossible to fear something that is that we don't know? Actually, we don't know. It's the unknown. Is it possible or impossible to fear the unknown?
There's basically nothing to fear except fear itself. And I think that's really sort of the point, that if you understand that there's always things you do not know, and you are not in control of your life in a sense that there's always something that happens out of your control. There's the nature and there's circumstances and so on and so forth. So you can always choose whether to live in fear or just, you know, choose not to fear. And in many cases, I think you can do it with a mental practice. You think of, okay, if you're worrying a lot and fearing something, you can just start to look the fear. Just you know, take a good look of it and observe it and see it. And, you know, is this something I'm really, you know, afraid of? Is this something worth the fear? What is the worst situation? What could happen if this would materialize? Is it really worth it? And many times if you start to look the fear, it disappears because there's no sort of ground in it. So I think it's sort of the fear of the fear we are in many cases just afraid of. And it's just an idea of the fear, not the circumstance or the situation itself, but just, you know, the idea of it is in many cases just the sort of the essence of it. And for that reason, it's if you look at, you know, it's may not be necessary at all.
Well, that's an interesting, you quoted a very famous phrase that was made by ex-president Roosevelt, I believe, talking to the American public. He said that there's nothing to fear but fear itself, and he was preparing Americans for war, I believe, during that time. Very famous phrase that he made that you just quoted. Well, you know, it's good. That's good then. As far as fear is concerned, it's something that can be controlled. And if we can control it, we're going to be better people Anyway, so to control something too, we have to concentrate. And I thought that something was interesting about concentrating. The difference between can a multitask full person also be a person that concentrates? Or can you have both, or can you be both, or is there a contradiction or a paradox between being multitaskful and one that concentrates?
Multitasking, I know how to do it, I can do it, but I prefer not to do it. Because if you're concentrating on something 100%, you're not doing anything else. And if you truly objectively observe yourself while you're multitasking, I don't think you can do it properly. If you're talking with someone and you're doing something else, you are not concentrating on the listening thoroughly and properly, and you might miss something, and vice versa. So I think multitasking, yes, maybe we can chew gum and, you know, just drive car, but I don't count that as a multitasking, but, you know, something more, a bit more difficult. So I don't think that you should multitask. At least you should be very, very, very well trained in concentration, and typically I prefer to do things at once and only focus on something. And if you're in a hurry, if you're in a sort of in a situation where you need to have a lot of things done, and then the quickest way to get those things done is just to focus on one task at a time and do it very efficiently, put all your effort in there and do it quickly and the most swift and smooth manner possible, and then you move on to do the next one. If you're doing a lot of things at once, it may look like that you're doing a lot of things, you're very efficient, but it might be in reality that you're doing many things poorly. And for that reason, I think it's very advisable just to concentrate, and that's very important also from the perspective that if you want to practice meditation, because it's all about concentration, and our mind do not want to concentrate at all. It tends to jump over and over the different things and for the new things, and it never stops, and that's one of the main reasons why.
Now wait a minute, you say never stop, you know, we concentrating while we're asleep.
You are not, while you are deep at sleep, you know, you are not using your mind, so there's no thoughts, you are not aware of yourself, so we are not using the mind at all.
So what about dreams then? Is a dream a form of thinking or
Well, it's sort of the one of the, well, there are three or four different states where we are, and the dream state is sort of, it's then we're using our mind, but we are not sort of in control of our mind, it's more like a subconscious way of, we are more aware of, and we might remember some of those dreams, but it's not exactly the same states where we are fully awake. But the thing is that when we're using our mind, we think, and those things are our mind. So our mind is active only when it's thinking, because it's comprised of the thinking, and that means that the only way it exist is it that it keeps on producing new things, so it's thinking all the time. And you know that, you know, if you changing the radio station all the time, it's not very nice to listen to the radio talk show, because you're missing every third word, or I don't know how many words, depending how quickly you just change the dial to the that's exactly how mind works as well. It jumps on different things and having a lot of different thoughts and ideas, and it's all about movement. But focus and concentration are not about movement. They are actually more about intensity of your actions and being one-pointed. And just ask any golfer, any professional sports person or people, you know, who are doing, you know, in they're very good in golf, or they are in baseball or whatever, slalom, you just name the sport, where they have to concentrate. How do they concentrate? They do not think. They just keep their mind still and they focus on the action, then they just do it. And that's the whole point. When you start to think, you are not really sort of concentrating.
Oh, so I don't understand. I thought thinking and concentration were pretty much synonymous. You know, it requires thought to concentrate.
Well, if you truly concentrate 100% what you're doing, you sort of ignore all the rest. You're focused on the action, and you do not think. You just do it. No matter whether you're solving a mathematical problem and you're really sort of deeply into it and you don't sort of pay attention to anything around you, or you're just playing golf and you're just striking the ball with your club, at the point when you're in the middle of the swing, you do not think, you just do it. And it's only afterwards you start to think.
So what you're saying is, what a concert pianist playing one of Beethoven's sonatas, and are they concentrating or thinking about each note, or how does that work?
No, well, you better ask from them, but I would say that they do not consciously think about those notes, they just let it come out.
So like you said, like that comes from practice, like you said,
yeah.
You have to, obviously.
Yeah, they are
so
focused and they just focus on the action.
So you're saying that we have a very short concentration span, and thinking is very difficult. So if those two things are the case, it's almost like building a muscle. You have to keep exercising until you pump yourself up. What do you think?
Yeah, that's true. So we have to sort of exercise to think and focus, and maybe word thinking is not the proper word because it's so overused and used in so many different connotations and meanings, but focusing on what you're doing. So in many times, no, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you can always concentrate what you're doing. If you're cleaning the house, focus on cleaning the house. If you focus on eating, focus on eating. How does it really taste? Not how do you think it tastes, but how it does really taste now when you're eating it. Focus on those things, what you're doing, and you get a better and enjoying them. Really sort of be in the moment and do those things properly, and you get more out of your life. Because many times we are not in the moment. We are not actually, we're doing those things, but we are thinking something else. So we are not focused and really being on in that action. And we are missing a lot because we are not sort of really here. Our mind is somewhere else. We're just mechanically just putting some stuff into our mouth and, you know, just chewing, but it doesn't really taste anything. Or we think it tastes something, but we haven't used our senses to smell and taste it.
Well, that's interesting you're saying that, because they're likening that to even teenagers here in the States driving. While they're driving, they're on the cellular phone of text messaging, or talking to their friends, this, that, and other, and they have a high level of accidents, car accidents, because they're not concentrating on driving. And they have an experience too. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it has our culture nowadays. It's focused on action and multitasking. But it's many times, how do you see it? It's more like that it's escape from the reality. When you're just putting on your iPod and you're walking to the work or whatever you're doing, you're doing many things at once. And it seems like that you're sort of escaping from the moment, from your reality. You want to be somewhere else. You just want to sort of get over the moment you're having at this point and just be in somewhere else. Typically, you can also measure it by the silence around you. How many moments of silence you have in your daily day? What do you do in the early morning? Do you switch on the radio, the TV? Is there always some background noise with you? And that's typically the thing that... Yeah, it's difficult to concentrate and be and enjoy because there's always some impulses coming in, and we are never sort of in a moment of being in a peace and sort of listening and enjoying things. I'm not saying that we have to be just quiet and, you know, just isolate ourselves, but it certainly helps to when you're starting to sort of get more concentration. After a while, when you better in practice and be doing for a while, things get more easier. You get more out of things. You're more efficient. You can do a lot of things. You can think things more clearly, and you get more out of your day. But it's only when you start to sort of get rid of the distractions and you can make a conscious choice where to focus and just use your mind to focus on those things you like to concentrate on. And this especially helps when you're in the middle of a traffic, when you're in the middle of a lot of distractions, or you're in a noisy place in the work and you have to focus and concentrate. When you have practice to do it, you can more easily focus on the thing you need to do. And but in this time, you're in control of the situation. And it's like a sort of any other muscle. Well, it's not exactly muscle, but the same idea that it needs constant practice, and you get better by practicing.
Well, again, I don't know. Do you think it would be best to make a shopping list, or do you think it would be best to concentrate enough to try to remember all the little items that I might need?
I think it's up to you. It's well, if you have a long list, you may want to write something down, but you know, as well, you can just, you know, have a mental practice. What I mean by concentration is just not some memory tricks. Obviously, those help, and it's good to practice and keep up your memory as well. But once again, if you concentrate on things, concentrate, for example, when you're just staring at a fridge and seeing what is in there and what is missing, and you do that 100%, and you just focus on concentrating things on what you look to do inside of fridge and see that, you know, that thing is butter is missing, the milk is missing, and the vegetables are missing, and blah blah. Then, when you're in the shop, you can just recall the moment and maybe even see in your mind's eye through the fridge and, you know, remember all those things you see. So there, I think there's various ways to do it, but well, some are better when you write to, some remember better when they write down things, and some remember better when they see things. So people are different, so.
That's interesting that you say it that way because I'm funny. If I write something down, I won't need it. I'll have it, but I don't, because I remember what I've written down. But if I don't write it down, then I'll forget. Now, I don't know if that makes sense. For instance, if I need 15 items, I can pretty much remember everything I've written on that list. I don't even have to recall it when I pull it out and look at it when I get there because I remember what I wrote down. But if I don't write it down and I don't have it on me, it seems like I'll forget. Now, why is that?
Well, I think we just wired differently. Some people really sort of need the hand, and they just remember, you know, when they're writing. Some people just have a sort of a picture memory that they see the pictures, the images, and they can recall from the images they seen things. And some are more better when they hear things, and you know. So I don't know. We're just different in that sense.
Well, it's very interesting. I'm glad that I don't feel left out when I think that to concentrate is very difficult, and it doesn't come easy, and it's something that we have to work on. It's not inherited at all. It's like a muscle or anything else. It has to be trained, and you know, it's good. So, you have any suggestions for the audience as to how to train one's mind or how to concentrate? You've touched on a few things, but would you like to be go over that again? What are some of the things that will help us concentrate?
Enjoy the moment. You know, you don't need any special practice. You don't need any special techniques or skills. Just whatever you're doing, just focus on doing that. Don't do anything else. If you,
So one is to have an interest in something.
yeah, you know, if you're driving a car, drive a car. Don't listen to the radio. Just close the radio and just drive the car and enjoy the scene and just, you know, be there. And don't think something else. Just drive the car. It's like when you're sailing or you're just maybe driving a motorbike. You know, you just many times you just cannot do anything else, at least when you're driving a motorbike. You know, you have to focus on driving. So that's my advice. Focus on the things what you're doing, and focus on the thing what you're doing at that particular time, and just try to appreciate what you're doing and really being there. And what I mean by being there, just don't think something else. Just be there. Inhale, exhale, and focus what you're doing. And that's the best practice you can do. Switch off the radio, switch off the television, or if you want to watch TV, but don't do anything else. Because that's the multitasking thing, you know, you get a lot of things inside. And as a matter of fact, you know, there's a lot of subconscious messages we are getting in as well. And we even do not recognize that we're getting those in. So it's better to be in control and select and be selective. What do you want to concentrate on, and what do you want to focus on, and what are the things you really sort of wanna pay attention, and just ignore the rest. But it only happens when we're sort of focused, and we are we've been doing the mental practice of concentration.
Well, I guess that makes sense. It makes sense. I do know that there was a news piece on once that Americans in particular work too many hours, and they're more prone to accidents than those that get lots of rest and work shorter hours, and they're more productive with less accidents. So I suppose, obviously, like everything else, our bodies should also be of interest to us, and that we take care of that even to help us to learn how to concentrate. So, you know, again, there are many, many things. I appreciate your good advice, and I'm sure the audience do too. And we've got to do this again very shortly, and looking forward to that. And thanks for the time and effort that you put into this to help all of us out.
Thank you, Dave. It's been a pleasure, and it's been so great to talk with you, and thanks again for your good questions.